Can you hear me back there? Oh, that's right, I have something on me. Sweet. Okay. So today is the cliff notes of the whole week. Are you up for doing practices? Okay. So, let's begin by remembering that every breath, every time that flow comes into our being, we are breathing in the very life of God. Just sit here, breathing in the life of God, breathing out your uniqueness, the specialness of you. Breathing in the life of God, and realizing there's never been anyone exactly like you born before. If you don't be you, we will have a great loss. No one else could do it. I understand that some people have issues that they get to be themselves, that they would have rather have been somebody else, or had some refinements done on the programming. But just like in that practice this morning, there's something shifted when we stood up and looked from a different point of view. Perhaps there's a reason that we are who we are. So we breathe in the life of God, we breathe out and let ourselves be. And now from this place of connection. Oh yes, and of course, you might identify for yourself, what is it that I actually call that which is the source of my life, the source of all life, the source of all healing and hope, the source of everything? What is your name for that? So take a moment and greet the divine in the way that is meaningful to you. And now everyone, please stand and go to a window where you have access to the light of the sun. I'm going to sit right here because I'm hooked up. And standing in that place where you have access to the light of the sun, breathe in, either breathing in the life of the sun or breathing in an invocation, any invocation that comes to you, of course, that's useful, and then breathe out love, letting your breath flow far and wide, not pushing, not diminishing you, but rather letting the source of that inspiration flow into the world. Breathing in the very life of God, or breathing in an invocation that is meaningful to you, and breathing out and allowing that to flow out, circling the world as love. And when you've done this 11 times, come and sit down. We spoke about faith. Faith as in trust without a reason, as in a deep experience. And we talked about how faith sometimes is a feeling, and sometimes there's not a feeling, and all you can do is have a sense of the road ahead of you, and that somehow you're moving in the right direction down that road. And so you might take a moment now. This is something new, and maybe daring, and bold. Thank you. Make a bold move and turn towards that source that I right now call God, that you might call something else. And just quietly have a little chat. It might be just a phrase, or it might be a sentence, or you might have a complaint. Remember, in the Jewish faith, arguing with God is considered a very high state. And when you finish, if you wish, you could allow yourself to feel like an empty cup, an empty chalice, opening yourself to receive, letting the divine grace, the divine blessing, perhaps much more, touch you. A touch of blessing. We turn to the zikr of self-acceptance. Beginning with the head to the left, circling down and around and up. As you circle, going through your history, from the stars to the minerals, the plants, the animals, your personal history, your genetic history, up to the zenith where you connect. You turn towards the divine. The head comes down, where that boundless self meets the personality, the creative power of the support system, and accepts it. And as the head rises, somehow your personality becomes enhanced. It gives greater expression to the divinity within, and the divine seed of the soul flowers in you as you. And we rest in the splendor of the divine, of God, of the Source. We'll do this two more times, head starting to the left, going down from the stars, through the cosmos, through the minerals, the plants, the animals, your genetic history, all up to this moment where you reach and feel, or imagine, that the divine is reaching towards you. from that place of linking in, the head goes down, encountering your personality, the support system of your life, finding the creative power within it and accepting it. Yes, it's okay. And as your head rises, somehow your personality becomes transformed. It gives greater expression to the divinity within. The divine seed of the soul flowers in you as you. And as you rest in this moment, rest in the splendor of God, of the One, of the Source, of wholeness. And one more time, each of us doing this at our own pace. Scanning the body, the mind, the heart, the feeling self. Notice if there's a place in your body and your being that calls to you. If not, turn towards your heart. Breathing in, Shafi. Breathing out, Kafi. Breathing in the healing spirit of God, breathing out the all-pervading life of God. Breathing in the healing spirit of God, letting it touch that place in your being that calls to you. Breathing out the all-pervading life of God. Letting that all-pervading life heal and transform you. And perhaps you've come to a place in our time together that you feel that you're moving in a new direction, or something is being born in you, or there's been some discovery or some encouragement or something else, and you can turn to that. Breathing in, Shafi, letting the divine touch that location, that place, that experience, and as you breathe out, Kafi, knowing that this will help you to accomplish a thing. If you don't have done enough, then stop and just relax and wait. If you wish to go further, then close the right nostril. You're breathing in and out the left nostril. In and out the left nostril, thinking to yourself, this is healing my body. Now closing the left nostril, breathing in and out the right nostril. Breathing in and out the right nostril, thinking to yourself, this is healing my mind. This is healing my mind. And now shifting again, breathing in and out both nostrils, thinking, this is healing my heart. This is healing my heart. Okay, everyone stand. Stand and concentrate on the perfect health of body, heart, and soul. Stand and concentrate on the perfect health of body, heart, and soul. Realize the divinity within. Think of your body and mind in perfect health as they ought to be. Let the divine power penetrate, permeate your being, going to the furthest reaches, into the deepest places in your cells, the spaces in your body, the ends of your hair, the tips of your finger and toenails. And then relax and let your spirit go to a place where it will be refreshed, like in the green pastures beside the still waters. Amen. As you sit down, could you spread out just a little further that way so Suraj can get in?
There's space to put a chair over here if you want to bring a chair.
Too late. Thank you. Being as this is the handy-dandy review, I do want to remind you again about praying, the three steps to praying. The first, complete receptivity. Have complete receptivity and open your heart to the divine. And once again, I really want to urge you to ask yourself, what is the word that I call that which is the source of me? The source of my life, the source of everything. And use that word because it makes your interaction with that meaningful. So the first step is complete receptivity, opening your heart to that which I call God and you call what you call. Then you either place yourself in the divine presence or hold the one you're praying for in the divine presence. And then you either let the divine life come into you, or you ask or allow it to go to that one that you are praying for. Any questions about the practices that we just went through? Yes. Of prayer? Yes, the third part is to allow the divine life to come into you or to go to that one that you are praying for healing for. So we're not, we don't like redesign humanity or the world. You know, we don't say, oh, I don't like that tree. It's got this funny knot in it. Therefore, I'm going to use all my willpower to take the knot away. We don't do that. Some groups do. But what we use is the greatest power that there is, the power of the universe, but not in a personal way. And so in your own inner transformation, because I do remember that this is about the tools that will help you to not only have peak experiences, but to have them become more and more into your conscious self rather than hang out continually in your unconscious self, right? And so these practices, they help you to drop the baggage that has been holding you back. The baggage that is taking up your, it's like a closet that's filled to overflowing. Your conscious mind is filled with all of this stuff. Much of it, you have no idea what it is, right? And so these practices are like cleaning out the closet. You don't need to know what's in every box. If it looks icky, you just kind of let it go. To clear the mind, you don't use the mind. You use something greater than the mind. And to clear the body, of course, we do have reasons to use physical things. That's why we have medicine. We have allopathic medicine, we have homeopathic medicine, we have all kinds of herbal things, we have yoga and exercise, we have a lot of things that help the body. And we can support those things by also doing these practices, being present to those places that call to you in the physical domain and allowing them to relax. And what will happen is that you will grow in spaciousness. And therefore, these practices that you used to do a practice and then you space out and you weren't really asleep, but you weren't awake and you're not sure what happened. Anybody ever have that experience? Yeah. And so what ends up happening is those things that are in that never-never land of not unconscious but not conscious, they begin to, you stretch, and so they are in your conscious self. And when they're in your conscious self, you have access to them, and you can turn your attention to them. They become part of the wholeness of you, the conscious wholeness. Any questions? Yes.
Of one of the important things of holding on to the visualization of health, rather than holding on to seeing the person or seeing self as sick when you're doing this?
Yes, so we do need to be realistic, right? And so we balance realism and the truth that we are perfect, right? So what do I mean by that? Well, your chest hurts, you're on the spiritual path, your chest really hurts, you're on the spiritual path. I would recommend you go to the doctor and see if something's going on in your chest. And then if you find out, no, there was nothing going on in your chest, if the physician says to you, oh dear, are you going through a period of a lot of stress and anxiety? Then you know, aha, this is not physical. So now I will use the tools that I know to tend to this. So in that way, we are discerning. We're clear, discerning beings. And we find out what is something that we need to tend to in order to live and breathe and have our being in the world, and what it is that we can tend to that has come up in the form of the beloved getting our attention. How does the beloved get our attention? By making us uncomfortable. I have voted that we change that. And I went through months of prayer every day saying, I am checking in, I'm voting that we change this, that we not grow through first feeling really uncomfortable. And finally, one day I sat down, I started my prayer, and whoever it is that says those things said, make a suggestion. And that shut me up. Because I couldn't think of a better way to get my attention than to make me antsy and uncomfortable. So if any of you have a better one, you can call in, phone home, and say, hey, I have an idea, even though she didn't. And let's see what happens. Because really, our role is to report in from the field. Who else would know better what life is like in the world than us? Those glorious beings without bodies, they don't have a sense of it. They count on us to report in. So I'm saying something big. Let's just consider that it's a theory, that it's up to us to check in every once in a while and say, what's happening here in the world? And ask for things that we need. You have nothing to lose to try acting on this theory and say, well, maybe I'll go on an as-if-true basis. And when it's time for me to have my daily chat with the source of all, I'll just report in. I notice that the people in those camps that don't have a country, that they're suffering, and we really need to do something about it. Please help. Please help them. The thing that makes prayer extremely powerful is when once you pray, you be the first one to answer your prayer. So how does that work? You say, you're reporting in, okay, source of everything, I'm reporting in from the field that there's too many homeless people in Seattle and they don't have enough to eat and the weather's gonna get really hot and sticky and how are they gonna stay healthy if they can't shower? Really, you need to help. We need help here. So then you maybe will go and bring some fruit and veggies to somebody, some family or some group that you know needs some help. Or maybe you'll go to your favorite food bank and donate something. Or maybe you'll offer an umbrella to somebody who's sitting in the sun and could use some shade. So in this way, you are offering the first answer to your prayer. It's like priming the pump. Any comments, questions? Yes.
As I'm listening, what I'm aware of is really becoming what it is that you're praying for. So, and when that happens, there's real relationship. There's real, something real is happening. It's not somewhere else. It's not in someone else. It's actually real. And that realness does have an effect.
Yes. Yeah. And you may not know what effect it's had for a long, long time. And then one day something will happen and you realize, oh, this thing that I was wishing for, it did come to pass. And you'll never know whether your prayer mattered, but this is why we have faith. You're a nice person. Yeah. Yes.
If we are having our own challenge personally in our lives, then we will be too much preoccupied with solving the issues in our own lives. So we would not be able to attend to help bigger pictures. So if we say that the only way that we grow is through challenges, and then the challenge come to our way, and then we can be preoccupied with our small circle, then we cannot do anything. It is like, that's my...
Yes, I had a similar question at one time. I did a survey about helping yourself, helping others. I went to everyone that I could find that I felt was really wise and evolved way beyond me. And I asked them, I said, I feel such a great need all around me that I could spend every moment 24 hours a day and I wouldn't do everything that needs to be done. And yet I'm getting exhausted. Every single person I went to said, you have to tend to yourself first. That if you do not tend to yourself, you will not be around long to help others. That you have to tend to yourself first. And so what about all the others? Well, once you've tended to yourself enough that you start thinking about them, well, if you're thinking about them, that's God's way, the beloved's way, the source's way. Whoever they are that tells you these things, gets your attention, their way of getting your attention. So you start thinking about it. You're no longer only thinking about your own health and welfare. So whatever that is that we call intuition, guidance, says, well, I'll just put the thought of others in this person's mind. And then maybe you'll begin by each day as you wake up or just before you go to sleep, just checking in and saying, I got the call. I assume those thoughts in my mind are like the beloved phoning home. Something comes into my mind, I think, I wasn't thinking it before, and I think, okay, I hear you. I answer the phone, the inner phone, and I say, okay, I will think about that person. And sometimes it's someone that I don't like. What comes into my mind is someone who's doing things that are very distressing to me, but the call came. And so I drop everything, I open myself, and I say, I got the call. I hear you asking that I make this prayer, and I will. And so I pray for that which came to me, and I put it back in God's hands. It's like activating legions of angels. Now, mind you, I'm not a great believer in angels, but I'm using that as an image. It's like activating a huge source of divine power and saying, here, go here. It's all just waiting.
I've done 200,000 in this room left over from last night.
Yeah, anything else?
Kind of on what you're saying. Because I've had that, you know, where all of a sudden a thought occurs to me that involves a person or a situation that I might be gardening or I might be typing on the typewriter. The computer. I don't do typewriters. On the computer, and it comes in when I'm distracted with something else, and I know that it's come under all of my life things directly to my heart. But then the next step for me is to kind of open my heart, and then the prayer occurs from inside out and back to the source. Because if I just reflect off, I don't really contribute anything. But if I can wait until, now, what is that? Without using my mind, then I can actually, I don't know if it does anything, but it completes a process inside myself to honor the thought and to breathe it back into the source that it came from.
Ah, thank you. Does anybody else want to share something that they do? Yes.
Kind of to your being all involved with your own problems and you can't, you know, tend to the rest of the world. In thinking about that through times when I had way more than enough problems of my own to tend to, it's like we're all drops in the ocean. And that's why some people are healthy and can go out there, well, and can have the energy to go out and tend to other things. And then as we're tending to ourselves, we become healthy. So it's like reclaiming your garden, you know, so that you end up with more healthy people together, energy, more to give. You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm distraught by something that has hit me over and over the last couple days about myself, and that's although life hasn't always been easy, life is okay right now. And I'm struck with what you said this morning, Fatima, about racism. And for me, that's... Like, I can walk through a store and not be noticed. I can be treated with great respect and ease. And where I get ruffled and sort of undone is how to take my privilege into prayer. And I don't mean this in a political way, but I think it's a really big need in our life as community to be brave enough, and maybe that's my issue, to pray about how to move into that in a way that I can recognize the separations, but also be moved into something more. I have that struggle of either I do it all, which I've done a majority of my life, and I don't know how to do it as well when it's part of my life but not my whole focus. And so my prayer becomes really stressful for me because I don't know how to hold it all.
Well, I'll tell you what I do when I realize that I'm looking at something that might be so insidious in my being that there's just no way for me to hold it. My prayer is I'm willing, I'm ready. I'm ready to see all of this in a new way. I'm willing to see with new eyes. I'm willing to notice the things that I do. I'm willing to grow. And then just put yourself in uncomfortable situations and notice, where is the discomfort? What? Why? Ask yourself, why? Why is? Am I so uncomfortable in this situation that I shouldn't be? And yet I am. We're at a place in the evolution of life here on this planet, and maybe in the universe, there's no telling, where we are going through a great transformation. There's a great awakening that is happening. And as with all great transformations and all great awakenings, there's stretching, there's growing pains. And we feel those growing pains, all of us, each in our own way, each maybe focusing, noticing them in different places in the wholeness of the environment, the societies, gender questions, race questions, color questions, all of this that we used to just take for granted and was therefore pushed under the rug like the big, or like the elephant on the table, but everyone just looked around it. Now, it's just not so easy to do that. And the most difficult thing is when you catch that thought in your mind, oh, well, that's not about me, I really get it. I'm a person who really has this all together. Because I don't think there's any one person at this point that has it all together. Some of us are holding these things from one angle, standing in the middle of it, and you know, in the agony and the pain of the stretching that makes people look at them, and some people are standing on the outside, still oblivious. And then there's those of us who are just perplexed, knowing something's not right in our world. But it's frightening to give up your prime place and say, well, can I stretch enough to let all of us have prime place to share? And we don't look like each other, do we? And so, you know, we're conditioned from our earliest childhood to have these models of what looks good and what doesn't look good. And so we're faced with that as well, rather than the uniqueness and the wholeness of what we are. I'm really challenging us to, I'm so glad you brought this up, because this is a very big thing. We will not, as a society here in America, but this is true worldwide, although we have it worse than some countries, we will not be able to fully grow into our next phase until we are all people. No one is seen through a screen of yellow or red or black or brown or white or polka dot. We're all just people who are precious. And the way that those of us who are going to use these practices might use them is to inquire, well, where in me do I feel that hook? Where do I feel uncomfortable when I think about this? And start to be present to that. And see what happens over time.
I hope I'll be able to articulate my the thought. I know I'm supposed to share it, so maybe you'll get it transmitted. It's just such a delight to be sitting here with all of you today. You know, I can really resonate with what you just said. You know, you look at me, and I'm white, and I'm female, and I'm privileged. But in another sense, I never felt that because of early trauma, wiped out my ability to feel a sense of equality or self-worth in my personhood with anybody. So you could have been a janitor and I would have given you my back, I would have taken the back seat because of my lack of worth. So it was regardless of my face or my color. And when that was restored for me, it was an event that made me resonate with the verse in the Bible about the poverty of spirit. And I once heard a man speak, and he said, poverty of spirit is when you line up every human being on the whole entire earth and you realize that you are exactly like everyone. So that's what that event, what that healing did for me, was made me connected to myself. And in this amazing plug-in of connected to myself, I was able to see the preciousness of just connecting with anybody. And I just became so ecstatic with the joy that I could connect with you for the first time at age 44. This happened, this November will be 5 years ago, that I could sit down and resonate and connect and be who I was. I got aligned, this joy. You know, the very act of that connection was the prayer. And it wipes out everything. It goes straight to the essence, you know, your face, your hair color, what you look like doesn't matter. And now I'm walking around, I'm having a lot of hard times dealing with the other, you know, I'm ready for us to move on, you know, past this. That's what I feel a lot of tension around. Like, man, we are just reliving and beating ourselves over and over the head with this story. And don't you see it? Don't you see it? That person sitting in front of the bar that my fellow Quakers would not sit down with, she wanted the exact same things I wanted in her and for her life and for her children as she smoked that cigarette with her crystal necklace. And what a joy I enjoyed really connecting with her. That was, to me, everything. And so, you know, it goes to that way of being as prayer. So thank you.
I know, sitting in this circle, you have an
Danya, open... Rockstar.
I know, sitting in this circle, you have an open, compassionate heart. And those thoughts come to you, and we pray. We pray for those people that are brought into our minds. But it's the thoughts going out that I've been working on. The mind is a powerful thing. And when I think I know what my granddaughter, you know, what path she should have, or what her mate should look like, or what my neighbors might or might not be doing, those are thoughts that I can make adamant. So I am trying to not have my thoughts be concrete, you know, not have... a path for my daughters to take, or the political system, they have to do this. I'm trying to be open, make it bigger than my mind and not have thoughts. On a retreat, one of the practices that I did was I was told to either pick up sticks, and when I got tired of picking up sticks, send blessings to the world. All day, 24 hours, that's what I did all day. And that was really interesting, but it's the thoughts. The thoughts have a lot of power going out and coming in.
I wanted to, we've been doing an exploration in our center in Seattle about different planes of consciousness and the modes of thinking that go with it. And I think there's a disconnect and an exploration that's kind of needed for when you get high and you get to these places and you have these realizations of, well, we're all one, or I have insight into this racial tension, or I have insight into this torture, or I have insight into that, we often congratulate ourselves on the language of every day instead of using the language of the plane in which we had that realization. And so there gets to be a disconnect that can be kind of hurtful, because if we bring a realization into everyday language and say, I think I know it through my mind that I use in the world every day, you may have a really true realization, but you don't necessarily have the vocabulary or the way to bring it into being yet. And so I'm just thinking on, especially for sensitive issues where people have been put down or minimalized or marginalized in any way, you may be able to understand it when you're in deep meditation, but be really careful what you say when you come out of meditation and say, I think I know what I'm talking about. And really, how could we know the pain? How can we know what that's like unless we continue to listen to what is coming from those peoples? So it's just that thing of Ibn Arabi about or Pir Vilayet, that there is a plane of consciousness, every plane of consciousness has a mode of being and a mode of thinking. So if you apply your everyday thinking, you got issues. It's not going to work. You have to, anyway, it's an exploration.
Thank you. So I just want, was there somebody else? Oh, yes, thank you. Okay, last one.
Thanks. Building off what you said, Avalon, I'm glad that these conversations are starting to happen more, and just wanting to, I guess I'm continuing to that inquiry of how do we have the conversations in a good way, not good in the sense I'm. Some of the elders I work with from the Coast Salish Nations talk about doing things in a good way. So that's where that's coming from, not saying good versus bad kind of thing. So that's just on my mind, the question, how do we have these conversations in a good way? And just wanted to share kind of prayer answered a little bit / invitation. Because I had just bought this book, which keeps getting referenced in some of the activist circles that I'm reading. It's called White Fragility, Why It's So Hard for White People to Talk About Racism. It was recommended to me by several people, so I bought it. I've kept longing for, like, a lot of the circles I'm working in are highly politicized, a lot of strong, awesome activists who don't have a lot of spiritual grounding, though. So I was saying, I'd love to, like, explore and discuss this with people who also have that. And then I come in to East Hall when I moved in here last month or whenever, and Tarana had the same book on her nightstand that she had just started reading. And so we're like, let's start a study group to read this. And it was like a kind of answered prayer just here. So we're going to do that this fall. So if anyone wants to join in that, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Robin D'Angelo.
Yeah, so I really want to encourage everybody here to ask yourself right now, if there were two or three things that came to you during the time that you were here, whether it was in this group or in another group, that really, really struck you, that you feel, yes, this is something I can take with me. This is going to help me stretch and grow. It's going to make it so that I have a better way to live in my life, a way that I feel more at ease and satisfied with, and to write those down. Don't assume that when you get home, it's going to be as clear to you as it is right now, because in a very real way, we're all on retreat. And if there is something that is a challenge to you, to write that down, let that be your growing edge, that you come back and you're present to it. You ask yourself, where do I feel this feeling of it? And without trying to understand it with the mind, which, let's face it, the mind is a wonderful computer, but it's very small in the scope of the wholeness of your being, you can begin to be present to these questions and where they reside in you and let them clear the space. This is how revelation comes. Revelation comes when you hold the question and you're just present to it. And you're present to the feeling in you of that question, because that's the depth of your mind. That's where the transformation will occur. We're all being challenged right now. It used to be I'd meet people who knew it all, and I'd think, oh, isn't that nice? They're resting. And something will happen and they'll start growing again. But right now they're resting. I don't meet a lot of people who know it all anymore. I meet a lot of people who are confused, who are upset, who are distressed, who feel challenged, who are going through physical or emotional or mental issues. We're all growing. So let's take a couple minutes right now to turn back towards that source of life. Letting our questions, our concerns, our anger, our frustration, our wondering, our unfoldment, our misery, letting it all just sit there in the bowl of our heart. And if you care to, you could let your heart become like something that's made of something very strong. Strong, but yet somehow semi-permeable. That it can hold those difficult things, but it's strong enough to not be overwhelmed, to not find them too heavy. And perhaps you could imagine or feel that you are like one star in the universe and that all the stars around are there in support of the gift you are giving to the wholeness of life by being willing to hold these things. And so in a very real way, they are reaching out their hands to support you as you hold what's in the bowl of your life right now. Maybe you could open yourself, just wondering if that support will also come in some ways in the form of your life. Just opening to the possibility, coming into your life with curiosity, oh, am I going to also receive some support in the form of this next phone call or this next conversation or when I stand out in the sun or sit in the shade in the trees. And maybe there are some things in your bowl, in your precious, resilient bowl of your heart that you realize, you know, I don't need to hold this alone. Maybe it doesn't even need to be in my basket at this point. I think I'll give it over to the divine basket. And you could imagine or feel that you're taking that out of the weight that you carry and letting it be carried by the divine, the beloved, the healer of hearts. There's a phrase, trust in God. This is one way to do that. And so let's each turn towards the path that we are walking, where our feet are planted, looking into the future. And perhaps you can feel or notice that on your left is a great angel or archangel or a great quality or some aspect of the wholeness that stands to walk with you. And on the right of you also, you might notice a great angel or archangel or great master or saint or prophet or divine quality or some aspect of the wholeness that is there walking, waiting to walk with you. And if that doesn't work for you, you can just say, okay, I'm ready to have more of this in my life. I'll carry it on the right and the left of me. And the same with behind you, to imagine or feel that somehow, yes, I have this great support behind me as well. And also in front of me. And maybe beside you or above you, you also feel that support. Once again, feel your roots, that taproot that touches the heart of the earth. And once again, you might feel that stream of blessing, of grace, of mercy, of just what you need flowing from above, coming down to hold you in peace and blessing, maybe something more, and to touch you deeply. The answer to a prayer. And I'll say the prayer of healing conductors, and perhaps this will be of some use to you if you wish. Beloved Lord, beloved God, beloved source of all, beloved wholeness, through pour thy healing power through my breath, my thought, my glance, my words, and my touch. Amen. May May your life be filled with blessing. May your faith increase. May your courage be bountiful and your love immense and never ending. Yes. I'll ask Piersia to tell us in the morning. Oh, darn, I had his attention. Oh, we have some new people here. Does anybody here know what Mabut and Maksud means? Yes? The goal? Ah, so Mabut is the lover, the one who has deep love, and Maksud is the goal, as we're moving towards the goal. Thank you.